We have just read, responsively, from the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verses 10 to 22. And so if you want to follow along with the explanation or a little bit of exposition, you may want to go ahead and get your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs, chapter 2, verse 10. Now, in Proverbs, chapter 2, we have one complete chapter where a father has taken his son, who is not a little child, but someone old enough to be deceived by sin and to be drawn into either bad company or with very bad women. And so the father here is counseling his son, who in all likelihood is going to become the next king of this nation upon his death. Okay, and in the first 9 verses, we saw where wisdom, okay, is being, the father is calling upon his child to embrace godly wisdom, biblical wisdom, wisdom that one can pull out of the scriptures to save not only his soul, but to help him in every walk of life that he or she may walk into, either in the business world or in some type of a professional world or in the realm of domestic labor, whatever. Notice verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Beloved, there are many people who call themselves Christians. They go to church, probably on a regular basis, but they leave just as empty. They leave the church just as empty as when they entered. And the reason being, which I've seen over 16 years of pastoring this church, is that a lot of people come to church really to learn nothing. Just to put time in, get their attendance column checked off that they were a good boy or a good girl. They came to church, they carried a Bible, they mumbled a few hymns, okay, but they didn't really come to learn anything. And when it comes to life in general, whether you're lost or saved, there are a lot of people in this world that do not learn much. And you can look at the reasons why, or you can look at the result of their lives. Many lives are shipwrecked, battered and beaten by sin itself. Because in verses 9, there seems to be a desire on the part of us that wisdom and knowledge ought to be viewed as something, beloved, that is pleasurable. It is welcomed into our lives. So when we go to church, beloved, did you come to be seen, or did you come to actually have the Word of God have its effect upon your life? Do you take the Bible in its wisdom, in its warnings, in its cautions, and its blessings, and its promises? Do you receive that as something pleasurable, or do you receive it as a very bad bottle of medicine that needs to be avoided? Notice verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So in verses 10, we see an appetite on the part of the believer. So we're going to look at the believer here this morning. When it comes to those who profess to be Christians, there ought to be a pleasurable reception to God's word. Now, we're not saying that you're going to understand everything first time you hear it. That comes in time. The question is, when you do come to church, do you come with an appetite to receive God's word in a pleasing manner, not confrontational or argumentative? If you're going to question what you hear, do it at a different time. But when you're in God's house and God's word is being presented, before you go off like a Roman candle, you need to first put whatever you hear under the microscope of God's word before you go half-cocked, which we've seen quite prevalent in this church over the years, going half-cocked without really listening, let alone testing the spirits, 1 John chapter 4. But then notice two people are two situations that this discretion is going to preserve you and I. The first one is found in verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of evil, and notice the word man is in italics. So you can put anything in there. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, or the evil woman, or the evil politician, or the evil pastor, or the evil boss, or the evil businessman, or the evil neighbor. Okay, this can apply to anyone whose life is dominated by evil. But then it begins to become more definitive. From the man that speaketh froward things, a man who lies, a man who has no integrity, whatever comes out of his mouth, you have to put it through a filter to take away the dross and hopefully find some kernel of truth or fact or even reality. And right now we're living in a culture, beloved, where everything has been turned on its heads. We have one person I saw on Facebook now arguing that there are 57 versions of gender identity. 57 versions. You talk about 55 lies, because there's only two genders according to the Bible, male or female. And we've had that running in full force all these years and centuries up until just the past couple of years, where all of this gender redefining has now come out of the closet. Those are lies. And so therefore they come from the heart of an evil person. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So the man or the woman who's lost and they live in darkness, nothing is right or righteous, nothing is good in their eyes, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. So verses 12 to 15 is the first individual. And this seems to be like a broad blanket brushstroke of all the pagans, all the lost people that you can come in contact with. And there's all types and all shades and all degrees of darkness and paganism. But there it is, verses 12 to 15. The person who's not saved, the person who's driven by selfishness, the person who's driven with an anti-God, anti-Bible mentality, you are to be aware of. You are to be willing to depart and to separate from such. But then notice the second person, verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger that flattereth with her words. Now here we're talking about a harlot, a prostitute, or we could be talking about a woman who's married and is not content with her marriage bed. It can be either any one of these, a woman of the night, or a seductress, a woman who uses men to either advance herself or to advance her checking account or her jewels or her furs or her status or her wealthy home. She will use a man for all that she can get out of him and then simply drop him like a hot rock. But notice, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. So I think verse 17 here is homing in more specifically on a married woman. What covenant has she forgotten? She's forgotten her marriage vows. And therefore she goes after strange flesh. She goes after everyone other than her husband, to whom she is to be contented with. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go in unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. So notice, you have two individuals, two types of situations, that Solomon here is urging his young son, okay, who's old enough to be deceived and to be taken off the right track by these two situations. And then verses 20 to 22, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men. So verses 20 to 22 is the positive. Okay, he's given two negatives, two examples of what not to hang around with, or what not to be deceived by. But now he tells them that you may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. So verse 21 under the old covenant shows a blessing to those who obeyed the covenant of the law of Moses. They would have physical and natural prosperity and blessings. But then verse 22, the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. So we have a good chapter here for any Christian parent who wants to sit down with their young daughter or their young son and begin to inoculate, like getting a vaccine, only this is a Bible inoculation. Taking the Word of God with all of these warnings and all of these cautions and instilling them into the minds of young individuals who still have a whole life ahead of them. And you don't want them to fall into the pitfalls of this world. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word. Amen.